better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
It was brutal in the River Valley. It was still hot and humid and sticky. And to go through that kind of workout on a weekend that had this kind of humidity and this kind of heat, I think is one of those things that builds fitness, but also builds mental toughness, which is something this program, you know, sorely lacks right now.
Well, and it was always funny because even, I guess it was 2 weeks ago roughly, that when Chad Morris was really getting in going in fall camp, one of the things that he says is, we got out there and it was all good. It was a little warm, but I wanted it hotter.
Yeah.
I wanted it. I want four straight days of 100-degree weather.
Yeah, the hotter it got, the longer we wanted to go.
Yeah. You know? And which is just a funny thing, not because that it's wrong or anything, but just, you know, especially in this day and age when you talk about heat stroke and then some of the seriousness that goes along, I'm sure they're taking the proper precautions to make sure that this doesn't happen. But, you know, something as simple as that, where you hear the coaches say that, it's just kind of funny to hear because under Brett Bielema, you kind of always felt like there was never a lot of outdoors there. They always went inside. If it was ever raining, they went inside. If it was ever really hot, they went inside. If there was ever any type of weather that wasn't ideal situations, they would go inside. And Chad Morris kind of is on the opposite side where he welcomes all that. He welcomes it if it ends up being some type of crazy, terrible weather, because you know, you're going to have to be going through that during the college football season, and especially in that opening game against Portland State at 3 p.m. If history has served anything to us, August 31st and a 3 p.m. game on a Saturday is probably going to be pretty warm.
Probably going to be. And I would imagine they would like another week or two of this hot, humid weather in order to condition this team to be ready for that. Because really the last thing football coaches want are like mild temperatures in August. They need to press and condition their team. So what do you think about the quarterback talk? I mean, did it raise your eyebrows when all the praise seemed to be heaped on the quarterback we all expected to hear about, right? John Stephen Jones. That was the guy we all thought the coaches would be discussing on Saturday, right?
Yeah, I feel like when I first heard that, when I first heard about John Stephen Jones being the guy that's getting the offense into the end zone and kind of gets it started and all of that. This is just my opinion on it, but I immediately felt like he's sending a message. That's what that is it's not that John Stephen Jones is going to be the starting quarterback for Arkansas come game one. That's not going to happen. But I think in a nice way, Chad Morris is trying to relay that to saying, giving the praise to a John Stephen Jones where everyone's like, hold on, who? Why? What? Why would they? Well, hold on a second. What's up with Ben Hicks and Nick Starkle?
Mm-hmm.
My immediate reaction was that's trying to send a message. That's trying to get those guys going to separate themselves.
Because none of it was about Ben Hicks or Nick Starkle played poorly.
No.
Didn't score touchdowns. Didn't lead their offense. Just that John Stephen Jones got his group into the offense first. Now, Morris, and you had to kind of color coordinate what he was saying. He was talking about the Reds were the first team, the Whites were the second offense, and that Ben Hicks led the Red team, the number one offense first. John Stephen Jones led the White offense, and that was the first one to score. Then Starkle got the second series with the Reds. So if you follow, did I misinterpret or mishear any of that? So basically, nope. Hicks was one, Starkle was two, John Stephen Jones was three in the quarterback order, as far as how you would say, all right, he's leading the first group first, he's leading the first group second, this guy's leading the second group first.
That's how I took it.
Okay.
That's how I took it, too.
I don't think there's any... I didn't hear that John Stephen Jones was taking the number ones down the field, even though he did throw Trey Knox a touchdown pass.
Right, so. Right. And that's why, again, I go back to... I feel like it's probably just being a message that's passed. Because listen, this is not me having any sort of inside information. I'm just looking at it from someone who's watched college football and hear a lot of coaches and what they say. To me, I just played it off as, okay, I think maybe Ben Hicks and Nick Starkle kind of got in their groove where they're like, hey, one of us is going to be the starter, and as long as we're just a little bit better than the other guy, we'll get the job. Oh. And I think it might have just been something to send a fire to him, is just be like, hey, John Stephen Jones, a guy that's, you know, this grandson of Jerry Jones, and he's on the team, and has no chance of starting, supposedly. He's outperforming these guys. Maybe it's just try to get a fire under one of them to take that next step and to go and secure that starting position, because we still don't have a starting quarterback now, last time I heard. And right. On hitthatline.com, you can watch all the press conferences from Joe Craddock and John Chavis and Chad Morris and all the players and whatnot. But none of them have said there's a starting quarterback yet, so that means the competition's still up in the air. Sometimes you got to set some fires to try to see if one of them's going to take the reins.
Yeah. So, I mean, but it's early enough in camp. You get another week or so into camp, you really got to get to narrowing this thing down. And I'll be interested to see, you know, based on players' conditioning, injuries, you know, practice time, practice schedules, all of it. How much longer can they go into this camp? Is it another week? Is it another 2 weeks? At what point do the coaches say, all right, we're done with two offenses on two fields, four groups? You know, I think it's worked great, and I think it's a great idea what they're doing. But yeah, at some point, you narrow it down because you need all the coaches and your top 40 some odd players on both sides of the ball. You know, you're too deep either way, focused on getting ready for first game.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's 10 days away or 12 days away, but at least at this point, you're getting some idea of what you've got in a number three quarterback, or maybe perhaps he's number two. But it'll be interesting to see how this plays out another week when we're sitting here a week from now, and what are we saying about the second scrimmage?
Yeah, because I'm not saying all positions are locked down, but you can start to hear from Chad Morris about like the offensive line and how that they've developed and where they're at with those guys.
Well, the offensive line is the reason you're able to practice this way.
Yeah.
Because last year, this wasn't even possible because you can't have four ends of fields going when you don't have enough linemen to do it. And that's the difference this year. Now, I think we'll get into a discussion, and maybe we'll save it with Clay. Who's going to be the right tackle now? And I think that's an interesting thing to watch with Noah Gatland being injured and the way they're trying to identify. Is it going to be Myron Cunningham? They talked yesterday about, or talked Saturday about, he's been switched around. They're, you know, playing some at guard, playing some at tackle. They obviously feel good about Colton Jackson at left tackle right now. They put Cunningham there some, but I think they feel like they're good at left tackle. You better be good at right tackle too. So, and it made it also sound like the snap issues with Ty Clary were pretty well behind them at this point. So maybe they're locked down at center. I don't know. I find that to be probably the least talked about, most interesting thing going on in camp is identifying the five starting linemen and then the three more you need to rotate.
Yeah, and the thing is that you're not going to be talking with Dustin Fry very often, the offensive line coach. You got to go from what Chad Moore's saying and also Joe Craddock, which obviously them running the offense, they have a good idea of it. But yeah, that's going to be fascinating, not only just to see that, but, you know, or do they have the guys that have stood out so far? Are they going to be the same guys that we heard 2 weeks ago that looked like they were going to be the starting five, as Dustin Fry laid it out for us? Is that going to be the same five that start come game one? Or is there going to be some maneuvering around there? Obviously, with Noah Gatland going out, there's going to be some maneuvering in some sort. It's just a matter of who's going to step up and take those positions. Because that's what you're at this point in time in fall camp. It's about who's going to step up and actually seize that opportunity to be the starter at many different positions.
And again, we talk about quarterback a lot. Is it Starkle? Is it Hicks? Starkle or Hicks? And I understand that's important. But we gloss over this offensive line, you know, sometimes too much as fans looking at it. And that's really what's held this program back for seasons, for years now, for about three consecutive seasons. So that, to me, is the most important thing, really above and beyond who the starting quarterback is.
Offensive lines aren't sexy, though. And they're not sexy talk.
That's not what everybody's tuning in to hear about this morning. Talking about, but it's probably the most important thing over the next 10 days.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
with Chad Morris meeting with the media, I guess it was on Saturday after their big 170-play scrimmage. It was a little warm outside, too, but apparently Chad Morris loves it when it's really hot. And wishes it was even hotter and they could go even longer.
Did you notice his hat?
I was wondering if it had rained, but it hadn't.
Either it had rained or someone gave him the Gatorade bath, which I don't think they do that after practices because his hat was so hot. His hat was, and you know what was real genuine sweat, because I've got a few hats like this, like you wear out fishing, golfing, whatever, that have that sweat stain on it, that mm-hmm. white ring. His hat was soaked in sweat. But you could see that white ring. Mm-hmm.
And it was only really too. In like the two spots, too, like kind of hip here in the corners of his forehead.
You could tell it was hot just on the based on the head coach's headgear.
Oh, yeah. And he loves it and apparently wants to keep it that way and to try to build some toughness. But really, the things that was able to take away from the Chad Morris press conference, of course, if you want to watch it in its entirety, be sure to head over to hitthatline.com. To watch not only Chad Morris, but all the coaches and players in their press conferences. But one of the things that he brought up was talking about the offense and the progression that they have through their install. Because we remember last year at this point when Chad Morris came out and said, we're about at 30% with the offense, 30% install with the offense. Now, I remember hearing that, and it was one of those things where it's like, okay, I guess you're not at 100%, and that's fine. And, you know, new coach, new players.
Year one.
Players that you did not recruit that do not know your system. Okay, I get that. But as far as where they're at now, you feel like they would make tremendous strides. Well, Chad Morris gave an update on where he feels like the offense is with their installation progress.
We're well over half our offense is in right now, which, you know, you would hope. We challenged our guys this summer and their player-led work to continue to grow. I mean, we don't want to come back and just continue to teach the base offense. We want to kind of grow. We still got to teach it. We want to grow off of it. And we've been able to do that. So there's some things that we're being able to do. It's a credit, again, to the returning group that's in that room at quarterback. And so I would say, you know, we're somewhere around the, if I had to put a percentage on it, 65-70%. I think we're well on schedule.
Now, when you hear that,
yeah.
First off, okay, he says it, he seems positive about it, he seems like that's where they want to be, fine. But at the same time, though, when I hear that and I hear only 65-70%, it starts to make me wonder, okay, is it really that complicated of an offense? Is it really that complicated to install something like this where it's going to take a 3, possibly a 4-year span to get it all installed? Because that's what I take from it is like, man, is it just overcomplicated or is it just to the point to where players are still having to learn everything and it's been slowed down with the amount of turnover they've had on offense too?
Well, but you were also hampered or limited last year in what you could do based on the personnel you had, primarily up front with the offensive line. I mean, they basically tried to run the football. I mean, they talked about turnovers this weekend, too. Arkansas had trouble securing the ball, mm-hmm. and Arkansas had trouble protecting the quarterback or opening any creases to run with. So they were very base in what they wanted to do, and he used the term, and I think a lot of use this for a lot of different things, but he used the term window dressing. We've gotten the base in with the power run game, and then we start adding the window dressing to this, because a lot of what they do is they show a lot of things that look like power run or their run game, and then they'll variate off of that to create a passing opportunity or an RPO or whatever they're looking to do. So I think he's talking about getting a lot of the base stuff in last year, and I think they had to stay with the basic fundamentals because this was not a team that could get into much of the window mm-hmm. dressing a year ago based on injuries, personnel, just a limited roster.
And I'm not saying it's a bad thing because, you know, we don't know what goes on. We don't know what the players, as far as the connection goes, has been their progress. But I will say, just taking for other coaches as examples, it just doesn't seem like this is a common thing. Now, and maybe it is. Maybe it's just because we don't follow other teams as closely. Maybe it's common, but I remember, you know, under Brett Bielema or even under Bobby Petrino, even under Houston Nutt, it didn't seem like it was going to take 3 or so years, especially with just one side of the ball and for the installation. It didn't seem like it was taking that long.
But I didn't hear what he was saying it was going to take 3 years. Just because they were at 30% last year and 60% this year doesn't mean they're not going to get to 100% installation this year.
But he said that, but last year when he's talking about 30%,
right.
One of the things he said is he's kind of looking and forecasting it out to be, well, it's probably be about year three before we really have this whole thing together.
Yeah.
So he might be able to get 100%, but right. I'm just using it as a forecast.
I don't know about you. I watched these videos last night, so they'd be the freshest for me, but that was towards kind of the end. And I thought that maybe coaches don't equate installations and playbooks and percentages. But did you think that question kind of caught him off guard, or that wasn't a question he was thinking he was going to get Saturday?
I think about the specific number, yeah. I think, you know, asking for a percentage.
And maybe
yes.
I'm just overanalyzing the way he handled it, and he kind of, I mean, listen, we know about tap dancing around here.
We're good at tap dancing,
we know all about that. He seemed to me, I read it, he was tap dancing a little bit till he came up to these, you know, if I had to put a number on it, If you're gonna paint me in a corner here, I'll say 65 to 70%.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, because
I don't think coaches necessarily sit down and say, well, we want to get to 58 or 64 or 65% of the playbook
right.
installed. I think there's all right. This group of plays, these type of plays. I think there's types of plays and types of installations they want to get, whether it's RPO or the power running game or the screen game. It's those kinds of things that I think they put them in buckets like that.
Well, and I think he had to find an answer that could keep him safe as far as right. how it was approached. Because if he comes out and he says, yeah, 100%, it's 100% installed, we're all where we need to be. Come game one or game two, if the offense looks like absolute trash, then it's going to be like, this is 100%.
This is
where it's going to be.
This
serious?
Is the painted picture.
Right.
No,
so he
right.
couldn't take that, but then he had to put a number, because if he said that if it was anything lower or a lower percentage, then it also says, okay, so what are you doing? Like, why is it taking so long? Is there major issues going on? So he had to kind of find an answer that would be able to satisfy both sides of it, to where he's not over-promising things himself, but he's also not under-delivering and saying, hey, we still have work to do, but it's a lot better than last year. We're a lot further along than last year.
Thus the tap dance.
That's right. That's right. And that's what it was about. But that was the thing that I took away from it, because when you hear a coach say that, it's fascinating to me of like, how long does something like this actually take?
Yeah.
And is it something that by year three, is it finally going to get going? Or is it going to be a problem this year with the offense? I don't know.
Hogs Illustrated publisher Clay Henry will be with us at 7. I want to talk with him about the offensive line, and not just who the five guys are going to be, but the effect it's had on this camp. Because when we're talking about this install and the ability to get reps and for the players on the roster to learn this offense, it's only being able to be coached this way this year because of numbers on the offensive line. And that's the key to this whole thing, is this install we're talking about probably couldn't happen the way it's happening without the numbers they've grown to on the offensive line. Not that they've got an all SEC line in the making here and a bunch of guys that are going to really turn this thing around this year, but they at least have enough bodies to do this thing where they're practicing on both ends of two fields and getting more guys reps, young guys looks. Joe Craddock talked about this. There won't be players that say, well, coach, I never got a chance to really show you what I could do. Because as Craddock was talking about, in the way they were doing it last year, guys, some of the younger guys may only get a handful of reps in a practice. Now everybody's on film for them to evaluate 35 or 40 plays mm-hmm. a lot of times. So you couldn't do that a year ago with the numbers they had up front. So this install that we're talking about, I wonder if it, you know, how much it's being sped up by the fact that you can get more players, more looks, and figure out where you're at.
Well, Joe and Fayetteville text in on a Cherokee Casino hotline saying that it sounds to me like he is right where he wants to be, and they will reach 90 to 100% by the end of the season. Also, 70% could mean that you have your main offense down and you're just adding little nitpicky things to it. Kind of like in basketball, for example, making sure everyone on the floor boxes their man out. Which, yeah, Joe, that could be true. But I was just basing it off of last year to this year. Last year was 30%. This year's, at this point, 65-70%. Mm-hmm. So is it going to be 100% next year? Or is it going to be that long of a stretch? Or is it what you're talking about, where by the end of the season, maybe it's all there?
But, John, you've got new players always coming in and older players going out. You're always teaching the offense.
Yeah, it's always happening.
The offense is always evolving, and there's always installs in camp because there's always new players in camp. And that's going to do nothing but get better or worse, depending on your perspective. That number's only going to grow about new players because of the transfer portal. So players are going to leave, players are going to come in just because of the world of college athletics we live in. Plus, you're always signing 20-some-odd, around 25 players every year that are new to camp anyway. So you're always installing offense.
Yeah, it's always happening. So that's, again, one of the things that I feel like makes Razorback fans scratch their heads. Like, okay, well, it can't just be a personnel thing because you have new guys every year.
Yeah.
It's got to be a lot more than that. Maybe it's the whole culture thing and culture aspect that they're putting in. We don't really know, but what we do know
maybe
is that
about capability.
Yeah, it you could know, be that too.
In the end, this team last year was only capable of running about 30% of what Chad Morris wanted to run.
Mm-hmm. But that makes me wonder, is it that complicated of an offense? Is it a complicated enough offense to where there is so much going on, it takes so long for these college football athletes, these NCAA, SEC student athletes to understand?
You're also trying to fit a little bit of a square peg in a round hole. And it's a lot more that way last year. It's better this year. But you had players that weren't recruited, weren't in shape for, weren't designed to play his kind of offensive football. Now that square peg's a little more of a round peg going into the round hole. So that's also part of last year why you were limited on what you could do.
Yeah, you're just hoping that it progresses better than what it was last year for sure. And if it takes till the end of the season, it takes till the end of the season. But according to Chad Morris, they're on the right track. So we'll just have to take that for what it is.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
What's going on now is I'll get a text or I'm stopped at the neighborhood grocery over here in Norfolk. And first thing they asked me is like, man, that's a neat intro. Do you like John okay? And I was like, well, what do you think? Just go with your gut.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, it doesn't sound like it. I said, oh, I just go with your gut. I don't ever tell them yes or no.
That's the way to do it.
I want to let the show kind of carry it out. Actually, I'm quite fond of John. It's like I would not let you ever, in a million, thousand, billion years. I mean, I would never let, like, dating one of my daughters. I just know too much about you. And, you came in the door, and you're of age that you could date one of my daughters. And, first of all, they wouldn't date you because they would see right off the top, your hair.
Well, they have standards, Clay. I mean, come on. You've raised them with morals and standards.
Yeah, they've got my DNA, and they would just know. I mean, they would be repulsed.
Yeah. Well, don't worry, Clay. Having you as a potential father-in-law would
but
be
I
my
like
personal hell. So, yeah.
I like you a lot.
No, that's the thing. It's like it's more like I'm the Johnny Carson, you're Don Rickles, all right? We just got to have this type of thing where we roast each other and we move on with it. We like each other, and we just have fun with it. We'll say that. But Clay, we do have a lot to get with you besides just our relationship here on the show. Over the weekend, Razorbacks had their big scrimmage, 170 plays, as you heard in the intro there. It was very hot, but there was a lot of things that came out of it. I know that you were there at the press conference and was able to talk with Chad Morris and the coordinators. What did you make of the 170-play scrimmage? What was your biggest takeaway from that?
Well, I think that it was obvious to me that the coaches were they were upbeat afterwards and much more than they were at this time last year. I'm not for sure I can remember exactly the first scrimmage, but in the first 2 weeks, it was starting to become obvious that they they weren't going to be able to run their entire offense. They were just going to have very few snippets of it. They weren't running the RPO. They weren't running the quarterback counter game because their quarterbacks couldn't execute those things. So they stripped it down to a few plays, and that's what they did. And that's very frustrating for coaches. But when the reality hits is, okay, we worked on all this last spring. They worked on all of it in the summer. And now 2 weeks in, and this is a cluster. I mean, you're just like, we're not able. They didn't say that, but the vibes were there, and I knew it. And that was when I began to kind of downgrade my expectations. And so far there hasn't been anything that happened, you know, as far as injuries. You've got one player down, basically. I guess Isaiah Nichols is in concussion protocol, and then you've got Noah Gatland that's, you know, had knee surgery. But that's pretty much it, you know. And they'll get you know, Isaiah back, and he'll be in the rotation, you know, on the inside. Well, maybe they've had an ankle problem with Eric Gregory, but that's the main ones that I know of. Mm-hmm. Off the top of my head. But I think that they had a scheduled team meeting after dinner Saturday night, and they came in for dinner, and Chad's like, we're not going to have the meeting. Well, immediately about a third of them, the ones that are smart, they all bolted out of there. They didn't even eat the dinner. You don't have to, you know, the dinner's not mandatory. And somebody was there, was like, well, where'd they all go? And he says, well, they got dates. Their dates are starting earlier. So, you know, of course, the freshmen, they didn't know what was up. They stayed and ate. The quarterbacks were not in that team dinner. As soon as they heard that, it was out the door. You know, those sharp guys. Quarterback play has been elevated, and that's what you expected to find out. But I think that's my take in. There's a lot of different facets that are positive in the numbers in the offensive line, and I think you hit on that, John and Tommy, earlier. And I do get up early, just so you know. I've already had my breakfast and was just kind of casually taking in what y'all had and seeing if I wanted to do another show with John. Yeah. And, yep. But I am. I'm going to do it. Yeah. Yep.
Hey, so while we're on quarterbacks, speaking of, let's talk about the other John Stephen Jones. His name was mentioned. His name was obviously kind of put in the spotlight by Craddock and by Morris, both as the quarterback that was consistently getting his team to the end zone. Now, he was taking the twos and the threes. You've spent decades deciphering coach speak and what it really means. What does it really mean, all the attention and praise they were giving John Stephen Jones this weekend?
It means that they threw him a bone. And I wondered when it was going to happen, because there had been so much talk among everybody, and the questions were all, I mean, the players were answering the questions, and they were about Nick Starkle and Ben Hicks. Ben Hicks, Nick Starkle, Nick Starkle, then KJ Jefferson, Ben Hicks. How are these guys? What are, you know, how are the new quarterbacks? How are they? Blah, blah. And the questions could have been, tell us about the four quarterbacks, and the players probably would have included John Stephen Jones is had a good summer and blah, blah, blah. But that's not what the questions were. So that's not how so he was being left out. And the head coach is always good about recognizing that and then changing the narrative a little bit. So that's what he did. And, you know, they talked about him, he being the one that got him off to a fast start. Well, he was the second quarterback out there. So if it was going to be a fast start, it was either going to be the first one or the second one, right? And, I don't really take a whole lot out of that, other than he should do what he's doing when he's going against the third team defense. And, you know, running a few pass plays in the RPO is really hard for a third team defense, and he can do it. That's his game. And now they've got a few more wide receivers that are going to be sprinkled down there to the third team. And, you know, when you start talking about, you know, Coylen Jackson on the third team and being able to rip a third team cornerback, you'd hope that would happen, because he's going to be in the rotation, I think, in, you know, in the top seven or eight or nine. And those guys that are playing third team corner are probably not in the rotation defensively.
Well, one of the things I took from McCoy, too, is with John Stephen Jones and his performance, or at least the praise that he got from Chad Morris and the coaches, is maybe that's kind of just sending a message to the other quarterbacks, trying to light a fire under them for somebody to step up and take that spot. Because, again, Chad Morris has said he wants it sooner rather than later. That's where they'd like to have a quarterback named, but he's not going to rush into it. I think he's probably, as well as Joe Craddock, waiting for one of these guys just to step up and take that starting role, instead of just barely eking out one guy the next practice, and then the next practice the other guy takes advantage. They need somebody to step up and take it.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it. And we never know exactly what's going on when a coach says what he says. I mean, sometimes you can take it right from his word and just like, hey, so-and-so's looked really good, and that's it. But like you say, sometimes it's sending a message. I had somebody remind me of this a few years ago when it was clear that Bielema was going to have, you know, a substandard team, you know, early on. And he spoke really well of a lot of different facets of the team. And he probably got a message from Jeff Long. He's like, man, we had so many tickets. We need a little more positive outlook from you. And, you know, a few days, he's like, Coach, but he goes, no, we need to sell some tickets to pay your salary. I know that's what happens sometimes. It's like, okay, we gotta sell some tickets. Nolan told me he used to do that. It's like, hey, back, like, you know, it's going to be a tough first half of the season. He says, you know, we've got a few seats open. They're not going to get sold. He says, I need that money, you know, for recruiting and other things. And so I don't want to get a no because we're short on money. So he says, man, I'll just go right in there and say, this, you know, we won a national championship and this is the same type team, you know, or something like that. And I was like, but we know it's not, Coach. He goes, yeah, we're selling a few tickets. So he explained that to me, that that's part of his job. He's got to be a salesman. So, you know, it's, I always factor that in. All right, who's he talking to? Is he talking to us as sports writers? Is he talking to his players? Or is he talking to the fans? Sometimes it's all of the above, but sometimes it's just, you know, sometimes it hits you right in the face and you know that's what he's doing. But just rest assured, or he might be talking to recruits. There's another aspect.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Rex and Hector, he has a question for Clay. He says, do you get the sense that this staff is more excited about this team than they are letting on, Clay?
I know they are. I'm easily convinced when something like this happens, so you got to kind of temper that down. I'm more of the glass half full guy. I think that they all feel like they're headed the right direction. You know, they're still a very thin nature of this team, so injuries can reduce them. I mean, they're not lined up two deep, three deep, but they're starting to fill in some gaps with some really talented players. But here's the problem with all that. Young players make mistakes. Mistakes get you beat. And so, you know, there's a lot of pressure to take those young players and get them ready. And that's why you hear them talk about they've got, you know, two practices going on at the same time. You're trying to really speed up the learning curve for these guys that they're going to play, you know, the freshmen. And, you know, some of them just got here, like, you know, they weren't here in the spring, you know, like Treylon Burks, Nick Starkle. So, you know, everybody wants Starkle to be the guy. I mean, I sense that. I mean, don't you guys? Everybody's like, if he's got the gun, let's just go with him. But he's learning the verbiage, and every once in a while, you know, there'll be a situation where he's thinking instead of reacting, and that slows it down. And so you don't want to put him in a bad position, and that's the worst thing that can happen, because he'll be the quarterback next year. Might be it this year, but Ben Hicks plays a little faster. But so then they're better. They're excited. They're getting more of their own players in here, and more of those players are SEC caliber guys. You know, that's like, you know, 25. And Joe Craddock, just speaking for offense, he's like, we didn't miss on any of them. I mean, there's not guys that they're saying, well, they're not going to play unless this happens. And every once in a while you sign a guy and it's like, well, you know, we think, and then you get him and it's like, uh-oh, maybe we did too much thinking and not enough knowing. It's like the old saying. It's like, you know, let's don't guess on any of these guys. Let's make sure. So their evaluations were good, and that should give you confidence that they can evaluate and understand. And I guess it was John that said this maybe earlier, that you have, you had a roster that was built for one system, and then now you're building another roster that's built for a different system, and they've got more of those guys in place, and that's what makes them excited, and they feel they're a little better than maybe, you know, maybe everybody's lit. But it's still, you got to factor it in. The gap was so wide. Y'all saw those games and saw the difference in scores. And, but it's, the mindset is different. The mindset has changed. You know, they finished last year, and not only were they beaten down physically, they were beaten down mentally. In, you know, that Mississippi State and Missouri games, you didn't feel from watching the team that they thought they had a chance. And I think that they've, that culture is completely different. Now, you need to win games. You win games, confidence builds. So that's the next thing that has to happen, in my opinion.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. Ben is in Benville with a question for Clay for some reason. Ben, what's going on, man?
Morning, guys. I've been out of town the last 3 weeks, so I need a 30-second recap of what all I've missed. It was a nice surprise to hear Clay on the radio this morning. Good to hear you back on the air.
It's good to be back on the air. I mean, you take what you can get, and Tommy and John, you know, they wanted me. I didn't so much want them, but you take what you can get.
Yeah. No, well, that's the thing, Clay, is that, you know, we have him on because he's been around for a while and he does radio. And you know, those two things are just completely invaluable. Yeah. So that's why we have you on. But as far as the 30-second
I'm teasing, just in case anybody knows, I was really excited when Tommy called me. I really was.
Yeah. Well, you're ruining the persona that we're trying to portray. We're trying to make
that's
it look
all right,
like that.
But you got
to
– hey,
John's hell-bent on making it look like
I've
you
learned,
two don't get along.
Yeah, I've learned. I don't want anybody to question my how often am I right and how often am I wrong. So you tell the truth at all times, even if they don't like the truth. The truth is, I like these guys, and they do a good show. If they didn't do a good show, I'm listening to them. So why not join them? Because I do enjoy what they're doing, and the lunch show with Phil and Ty, I like that as well. Have been listening to that since they got started. The 30-second recap is that it appears that the freshman class is a big hit. That those guys are going to play, and they're filling voids. The quarterbacks have elevated the play of the whole team. Both Nick Starkle and Ben Hicks are nice additions, and the quarterbacks that are now gone, these guys are much better than what they had, both in the ability to run the offense, the style of offense, and also their ability to throw and be accurate. And that's the most important thing in the 30 seconds I can give you on camp.
And Clay, I think another big thing that's going on is you've got enough offensive linemen to be running these two practices at one time, like we've been talking about, all these reps that players like John Stephen Jones might not have gotten or certainly wouldn't have gotten a year ago in practice. They're now getting, because you couldn't do that a year ago. You didn't have enough linemen to do it. Now you got enough offensive linemen to do what they're doing in practice and give everybody a chance to get on film for the coaches to evaluate.
Well, here's a simple point on that. Is last year, at this point, they had eight. Well, that's not enough to have two offensive lines to have a practice. So what they would do is they would practice in team segment. They'd practice for 20 minutes. And they'd shut it down, and they'd have to give those offensive linemen water, because usually you, at that point, you're bringing in another group. Well, you can't go. I mean, there's just like an offensive drive after 20 plays. That's a really long one. You're done, and you get to go sit on the sideline for a little while the defense plays a series. Hopefully not a long series, but you at least get a break. So they would have to shut it down and give a water break and let those guys, you know, get their wind back, and then they could practice offense again. So, you know, now they've got four, not just one. And that is a big difference. And some of that, you know, on those four groups are walk-ons, but they've quietly built up, you know, their walk-on stable too, the offensive line. And we know back in the Houston Nutt era, you know, you had guys like Mitch Petras, Stephen Parker. Burlsworth was a little before that, but he played for Nutt 1 year. And Dan Doty, Jerry Wright. I mean, that's when you think about how many of those guys were good players and they were walk-ons, you build up your walk-on program, and it's critical. And so that there's something that Bielema talked a lot about, but you didn't see it happen.
Well, and you know, you mentioned walk-ons too. It's also one of those things that you, and I don't mean to take anything away from anybody, but you never want to see it to where every year you're giving out a scholarship or two to a walk-on just because it's available and it's there. You want to have as much quality depth as you can. And I feel like that's something that I feel like Chad Morris is really trying to do, is not only just have the depth where you have bodies, but you have depth that's quality to where you're going to push each other. Because that's ultimately what it's going to come down to. Why is Alabama so good? Of course, they have the talent, but when they have four or five stars that are freshmen out there and they're pushing the four or five stars that are juniors, it's always going to be able to make for the best competition. That's where they're at right now, just creating quality competition across the board, not just at the quarterback position, but everywhere. And you can't do that unless you have legitimate quality depth to be able to go after it and practice every single day. You just didn't have it last year. Maybe you have a little more of it this year.
Yeah, well, you do have to have a scholarship save back in sometimes two. And I would disagree with that. I think you do save those and award them, because that's how you have a practice, is you've got to have those guys to work against, and hopefully a few of them develop in the strength program, and especially in the offensive line. You know, it's there's one there now that's working with the second team, Austin Nix, at center and guard. And I think he's going to be a guy that in he came in a little light. He was like 250, really can run, but he's one of those vicious, vicious guys. And I think that you'll see him get a scholarship before it's all over. It probably won't be for another year, but yeah, I want the walk-on program is important for the whole state of Arkansas, for someone to think I can be a Mitch Petras or Brandon Burlesworth. So and the only way you can do that is that you have to continually award a scholarship or two, and it works out. You can still sign 25 pretty much every year, and there's some that fall by the wayside. So you're just make sure that you're at 82 or 83 when you start fall camp.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.